It's WPGC 95.5 Joe Claire Morning Show. It is 8:20 in the morning time. Get going where you need to be. We have a special guest joining us today because of some activities that went on online yesterday. We had to call in the big dog. My man Tony Lewis Jr. is in the building. Good to see you, brother.
Good morning, man. Thanks for having me.
That's right. Also, we have Ian here. Hi, Ian.
Hey, what up?
Big entrepreneur here in D.C., in Washington. Shout out to Blind Wino.
So listen, guys. Yesterday, Washingtonian Magazine pulled down their ad or their post for a T-shirt you can get with a subscription. And the T-shirt read, "I'm not a tourist, I live here." Mm-hmm. And then the spread had 8 quote-unquote influences of the city, and none of them were African-American. I didn't have any, like we said, we didn't have anything against the people who were in the spread. We was mad about the people who were not in the spread. But more importantly, Tony, you felt like this was symptomatic of something bigger and greater.
Sure. It's a microcosm in Native Washingtonians, or let me just say Black people in D.C., particularly Natives, have been excluded from all the progression and innovation. Our existence, what we want, our needs are not factored in these plans, right? So this spread of having these influencers, I mean, it could have been a Angel Anderson in that spread. It could have been a LaGreg Harrison in that spread. When you want to talk about influencers in this city that were, again, excluded and left out, not reached out to, not even considered, may not even necessarily be on the radar of the people at the mm-hmm. Washingtonian.
But look, when you look at that campaign, what did that campaign say to you? And we talked about this off the air. Who were they speaking to when they said, "I'm not a tourist, I live here"?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. I felt like they're speaking to the people that were born here, that we're here now. This is our city, and that you have to deal with it. And interesting enough, like, I don't think we have a problem with that. We just have a problem with us in our perspective not being taken in consideration. And to also, I think a lot of times people moving here feel like everything that was here before them was bad and they're here to improve it. Their mm-hmm. mere existence makes it better.
Whatever.
And yeah, and that's not the truth. That's not a fact. You have so much history, so much brilliance, so much in terms of so much value in terms of people that were born here. And we are here. We're not, all of us are not leaving. And I think our collective power showed in terms of them removing that ad that no, we're not just going to stand around and accept that.
Yeah, that's real. And we were speaking off mic about Southwest and the change that we saw over generations that just, you know, people act like didn't happen.
Right, yeah. Nah, totally. I mean, Southwest is probably one of the smallest, is the smallest quadrant in the city. And a lot of people don't realize that, you know, the population back then in the 40s was 800,000 people. And right now we're eclipsing 700,000 people as a collective. But those populations back then were African Americans. And due to the Housing Act in 49 and judicial support in 54, all the Southwest was wiped out. It was a process called urban renewal. So as affluent as D.C. was for African-Americans who had their own businesses on 4th Street, all of that got wiped away because they said, oh, this area is filled with the slums and alleys and all of that. I mean, when you look at Blagden Alley right now is flourishing. Mm-hmm. But what it was before, it was flourishing for African-Americans.
Right.
That was home base. So I think a lot of people who come to Southwest now, they see what wasn't prior to the 50s. They don't know that heritage. They don't know that history. And I think that's the misconception.
Yeah. And speaking of, you know, history, I wanted to talk to Tony about, you know, being an implant and then being a transplant, because mm-hmm. I've been here 7 years and I call D.C. my home and I feel very immersed in the D.C. culture and, you know, just being involved in a community and things like that. And I wonder sometimes the difference between how I moved here and how other people that move here are also so disconnected from what's going on. They never meet any natives because in their circles that they run, they don't hang. Like, you were one of the first people I hung out with when I first moved here. Yep. And you showed me the part of D.C. that I never even thought existed just because I'd never been to D.C. before. But people that move here from other places, let's say Wisconsin, they don't ever even get a chance to meet a native.
Sure. And I think they could if they had the desire that you had. Right. And I look at people like you and homegirl Patty, like people that I see that are from different places but come here and immerse themselves in D.C. culture, that look to connect with Native Washingtonians on purpose, that look to get involved in community initiatives and things like that to really learn the culture and meet people. It's possible if you want to. I think the backdrop of that, though, is also that D.C. has to look at the fact that, particularly when we talk about millennials, like a lot of our Natives under 40, the city has not done enough to help those people get into these spaces, right? Mm-hmm. And so people come here wherever they work, wherever they party, they don't necessarily run into Natives. But if they did, I'm not sure if they would just be open to it, right? Because it's this myth about who we are as people, right?
Crazy.
If you're from here, right, you're dangerous.
Crazy.
And you know what I mean? Maybe I should wear a shirt to say I'm not a criminal. I live here and I'm born here and this is my house, right? Because I even feel that sometimes in my neighborhood, like for people that don't know or new people that move, like how they look at me when I come out of my house. Yeah, this my house. You know what I mean? Like, why, you know, or that all D.C. people that's black, we don't live in Southeast. You know what I mean? I'm from Northwest. I never lived in Southeast. Like, people to new folk, that's like something that's different. But D.C. has now relegated like 72% of the black people that live in this city live in Ward 7 and 8, right? We used to live all over the city. And so now people on Wards 1 through 6, particularly 1, 2, 3, 4, and 6, you know, almost can look at black people as like, hey, what you doing around here this late, right? You know what I mean? People live.
877-955-5267 is the number. Tony Lewis Jr. is in here with us. My man Ian is in here as well. We're talking about this whitewashing. I'm going to go ahead and call Chocolate City. And the just insensitive way that the Washingtonian Magazine kind of threw a whole population of people aside who live in the city. Give us a call, 877-955-5267. I want to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, man, I want to talk about the whitewashing. I moved here from San Diego in 92, went to Howard, and the president of Howard told us to stay away from the D.C. residents if you know what's good for you. You know, D.C. used to be bad. Yeah, his name was Franklin Jennifer. He told us to stay away from the D.C. residents. But when UDC, I was in the band as well, when UDC's band was taken apart, those members came to Howard University Showtime Marching Band. And these are D.C. residents, Valley Ave, Chesapeake, you know, the big chair, the shrimp boat. So I love D.C. And when I saw that article, I was pissed, even though I'm from San Diego. But I've been here for 25 years, bruh, 25 years. So I'm a D.C. resident. It really, yeah, I'm an implant, yeah, or whatever you want to call it. I just know that, I see it every day. I remember walking down 8th Street looking over my shoulder in Northeast. Now I can walk down and not worry about anything. You know, things have changed for the better. But we're still here, and it just really unnerved me, Joe.
Thanks for the call, brother. I appreciate it. PGC, good morning. Who's this?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, like, I lived in Ward 6 for my whole entire life, and it has completely changed. If someone was to literally, like, go to jail for 5 years and came back, they wouldn't even recognize it.
That's real. That's real.
Seriously, like, and people, when I say I live on Capitol Hill, people instantly, like, you live on Capitol Hill. I'm like, yeah, I live on Capitol Hill. What do you mean? They took everything away, everything.
Thanks for your call this morning. PGC, good morning. Who's this?
Hi, this is Paul.
So what you want to say? Your thoughts?
I've been here 39 years in D.C. all my life. And my grandparents bought their house almost 60 years ago. And our legacy is still here. We're not going anywhere. And I just would appreciate people that are moving here will respect us. Like, our family came here, been here, we're still here.
And there you have it, Tony. You can hear the people say, we're still here. We're going to be here. But how do we make the sort of the lens that is the Washingtonian and sometimes even the Washington Post and some of these other publications that omit our gigantic contribution to this city, how do we change their view of us?
Yeah, well, I think we have to show them that we're still contributing, right? And so I think sometimes they accept that, yeah, we contributed, we built the city, but like, so now it's like it stops somewhere, though. That we really shine a light on ourselves, right? We continue to support ourselves in that way, to regardless of them, and then hopefully they'll catch up. Because again, there's formidable Washingtonians doing amazing things, not just here in this city, but across the country. And I think they have to catch up. You know, we just got to again continue to utilize social media, utilize our own platforms, start to subscribe to place things like the Washington Informer, and really start to drive traffic in other mediums that we control.
What about your photo shoot?
The photo shoot is at the old Florida Avenue Market, now known as Union Market.
Right.
At 10:30 a.m. That's right. At 10:30 a.m. And I shout out to Angel Anderson. She worked on this with me.
10:30 on Saturday?
10:30 on Sunday, May 20th. 10:30 a.m. Union Market. Show up. We're all black. It's the Native photo shoot. Man, women, and child. Old and young, we're trying to give. And if you're a Native, and all Natives ain't black, so come out. If you born here, we want you there. You know what I mean? Hispanic, white, Asian, and definitely black folk. Show up, and we're going to do a real photo shoot to represent our city.
Now, before we go, what would you guys want to see happen here, let's say in the next couple years? With this whole situation, with everything that's happening now,
we need inclusion.
What needs to happen in the next couple of years?
Inclusion and integration, I feel, is probably the two key things that needs to occur. You know,
and we need support for black business. We need real systems to get DC natives into gainful, sustainable career employment, whether it be within the government or the private sector, but it has to happen. It is not happening on the level that it needs to ensure that Native Washingtonians can stay here. And that's for everybody. That's for the business community. That's for the executive. That's for the council. We got to figure out a way to make that happen.